Grace, peace, and mercy from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The words of our devotion this morning are based on the reading you just heard. When one looks at the reading, a vernacular expression sort of comes to mind, particularly relative to Judas and Peter. One could say, with friends like this, one doesn't need any enemies. Or we could say somewhat, as we perhaps sometimes facetiously say in certain contexts, what a friend. Judas certainly wasn't one, no longer at least. And Peter was really not the friend that he might have or could have been either. Judas, as we know, betrayed his Lord and Savior. He betrayed him, apparently in one of Jesus' most favorite retreats, the Garden of Gethsemane. Text tells us that Jesus gathered there with his disciples on numerous occasions, I suppose. And evidently, it must have been his favorite spot. It might have even been a spot where Judas experienced a lot of joy and pleasantries. We don't know what Jesus did when he retreated with his disciples in this particular place on previous occasions. He undoubtedly revealed many things to them that we don't know. Certainly, I think we can assume what Jesus did to them in this retreat was not what was happening now. A context of turmoil, betrayal, and the like. It was probably a place where Jesus went to relax and had his disciples learn something about that human requirement as well. And what does Judas do? He betrays him with a kiss. Not mentioned in this text, but mentioned in other parallel texts. He uses a virtually universal symbol of love to betray. And indeed, you can stand back and say, what a friend. He betrays Jesus, as we know, for a few paltry pieces of silver. And then when we move our attention to Peter too is not the kind of friend that Jesus needed. In fact, as we would say in the vernacular, he lost his cool. He pulls out a sword and lops off the ear of the slave and adds to the turmoil of the situation. Instead, Peter could have perhaps embraced his Lord. He could have prayed. He could have used words of persuasion. But so frequently, as human beings like to, they think that might makes right. And that's what Peter, in a sense, illustrated by the use of his sword. He forgot, apparently, everything Jesus had taught. Namely, that you win and gain people by love, not by force, not by might. And then when we turn or look at the text a little closer, we see the role that Jesus played. Very different from Judas the betrayer and Peter the tempestuous one. With Jesus, we can say, on the other side of the coin, no longer facetiously, but in the greatest meaning of comfort that friendship and whatever else might convey, what a friend. Here's one who betrays him, another one who acts as though he has lost his cool, as I said a moment ago. Jesus and all the crowd as well that was gathering there, along with the soldiers, coming for him, and he says, whom are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I am he. And as Jesus said this, he also said, and let the disciples go. You've got me, let them go. which was probably a fulfillment of what Jesus said in the high priestly prayer, that he would not lose even one of his disciples. At least this is how the passage is commonly understood. But as Jesus said, "I am he," and that which followed, the text tells us that the people, apparently the soldiers as well, fell to the ground. Now again, what was Jesus trying to do and illustrate here for them as well as for us? He was trying to tell, undoubtedly, the disciples, by these people falling to the ground, the result of his miraculous power, but a power of love. He hurt no one in their falling to the ground. No one was maimed. No one was scarred. By them falling to the ground, Jesus was probably trying to show the disciples his power and to be comfort for them in days and years to come. And indeed, that would bring the response, "What a friend." A friend in the joyous, protective way. And that he is also for us. You and I live in turmoil of conflicts or whatever they might be, mental or social. Think of Jesus' words, "I am he." I am he who is your friend. And I don't want to make that word sound schmaltzy, as some people sometimes think it does, even in the hymn of "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." But in the true theological sense of gospel meaning, he is our friend. Let's remember that. So differently from Judas and from Peter and from the friends that you and I have in our life. There is another saying that we sometimes hear in our society, really a definition of a friend. A friend walks in when others walk out. That's a genuine friend. That's what we have in our Lord and Savior. And for me, I think our text illustrates that. And may you and I, as his followers, his friends, as well as his being our friend, remember that unto eternity. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.